Hello and welcome to The On Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Brie.
And it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Welcome. We are a Grey's Anatomy podcast. We deep dive every single episode. Currently, we're doing something a little different tonight. We're doing three episodes.
Ooh.
Season 12, episode 20, 21, and 22, Trigger Happy, You're Gonna Need Someone on Your Side, and Mama Tried.
We are doing this because that means there's only one more episode of the season, which will come two more episodes, one more podcast episode. So we wanted to end it out on an even note since we did the dinner party all by itself.
Yes.
If you've never listened before, make sure you check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can pledge to be an intern, resident, or an attending. We do Zoom calls. We have bonus episodes. We have a really awesome Facebook group. We do post-op, which is after we call time of death, we keep recording for about 5 or so minutes. Today, for example, we are going to talk in post-op about the 8-year-old GSW patient that came in and the really great speech that Amelia gave to him at the end.
Yeah, it was fun. We had a Zoom call this week. And we talked, like, sometimes we don't talk a lot of Grey's Anatomy. And
we
just
talked
like
a lot of Grey's.
Yeah, like, sometimes we just talk about, like, life and different TV shows and just whatever anyone's kind of feeling that day. But we talked a lot of, like, previous Grey's and some Derek stuff. And then kind of what, at the end, Abby and I made everyone do a round robin of what they're most excited for the next season. And
lots of Addisons.
Yeah. And then some people got cut off. We had a minute left. And so it was fun. And it's always great to see some of our listeners' faces and get to know you guys a little bit better. So we had someone from Australia.
Yeah, she was in the future.
She was. She was in the AM of the next day.
It was very exciting. Yeah. It also is about to be summer there. So she's in an alternate universe where today is 55 degrees and
yeah.
cold and raining.
I have some houseplants out on our deck for like the summer. And I'm like, I really need to pull those in.
But then it rained. And so then they're all full of shit. That's how I feel about my hibiscus. I refuse to let it freeze.
Yeah.
Because then it will look like a bag of sticks in my house all winter long.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah. So you can learn more about our plants and our podcast by going to that page.
Yes.
You can also follow us on Instagram at The On Call Room Pod. And if you have a message for us, feel free to do so on the website, the www.theoncallroompod.com. It's our second episode in 1 week.
Yeah. So
it feels...
it's the end of the week. My brain is fried. I'm sure yours is too.
It is. And I have like to travel tomorrow for a wedding. So it just feels like, this should be a Friday, but it feels like a Monday also.
Yeah. And I still, and like, we're sitting in
You have
my,
therapy books
yeah,
all we're, over.
We're like sitting, I have this Sensate focus book for sex therapy just thrown on my bed and then like an APA manual and
a book about monkeys.
A book about monkeys and then just like an open suitcase from last week. And yeah, it's just...
It's hard. It's,
like, if you look behind you, all of my serums are out. Did you see that? Just like, it's just a shit show in here. I appreciate that you, like, didn't say anything.
Oh, no.
I was the one who was like...
Speaking of your serums, when I showered at the beach house after when I hung out with you guys, I was pleased that all of your serums were out.
Yeah.
And although I just used your face wash and lotion because I felt like a scaly beast after the sun. But I was like, wow. And then half of them, I didn't know what they were. So I didn't know what to do. So I didn't pirate them.
Yeah, you could have though.
I could have mixed two that
weren't supposed to go together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's how you can support us. Also rate and review us on iTunes. 5 scalpels, please. And just as a reminder, our post-op topic is about the GSW patient, which is gunshot wound. I learned that from the show and also from Jake, who says it all the time.
From this episode you learned it?
Well, no. I mean, they say
in
it here.
General.
Yeah. But I also learned it. I don't know. Grey's comes next week, though.
I know. I can't believe it.
By the time this airs, it will have already happened.
Yes, that is true. It will have already happened.
So that's why we're not talking about it, because we're in the past.
Yes. Yeah, which is really, really wild. And you're not going to be around for it, which I'm kind of sad because I would have liked to watch it together.
I know.
Maybe we can watch a different one together.
No, we still can. I'll be at a hotel room by myself. So maybe I can get cable.
Oh, yeah. And like we did that one time where we Zoomed.
That was fun. We did that a lot during quarantine.
Yeah, that was fun. I'll have to make sure that John can figure out like an antenna thing or something.
So you watch it from Florida.
Yeah.
Okay, what else is new with us since the 2 days ago that I saw you?
Wait, this is just really funny because in the shotgun workout.
I have to take my shoes off. Yeah, what did I write?
Gunshot wound.
Different than a cum shot wound.
Yeah. Oh, no. Dude, in
That's what I thought you said.
Dude, in my sex therapy class, my...
Someone had a cum shot wound?
No, my professor on the first day said cum shot about 14 times. And I was like, this is a different type of class right now.
Wow. I wish I could be a fly on the wall.
It's funny. She's like, I always have to tell like the administration like when I'm teaching this class.
Oh, because what she says?
No, because what she searches on Google, like on her school computer. So she's like, I just need people to know that like...
She's not just looking at porn for personal use.
Yeah, or like searching like, oh, one of our, in class, one of our cultural references was Jizz in My Pants. Remember that song?
Not only do I remember that song, I love that song.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, wow, we use that. And then she was like, oh, that's so funny that you guys use that because I listened to that today to like pump myself up for class.
Wow. No, I had a problem where for a long time, it was like the year that pop star Never Stop, Never Stopping came out.
You loved that.
I love their humor. It's weird. It's a weird niche humor and I love it. And because of that, I listened to that soundtrack a lot, which is very problematic. It's supposed to be like, that's their point. And then also I started listening to like all of their old music.
Yeah.
And for a long time, my Spotify, it was my, like the Wrapped at the end of the year. Yeah. My top songs were like Jizz in My Pants. I'm on a boat. Like, and I was like, this is embarrassing.
Did you watch Andy Samberg's show then? The police one? Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
No, I need to. Like, I know it's great.
Yeah.
I just haven't started it.
Yeah, I haven't either. But I feel like you would love it because you really...
Because I love him.
I had a thing for him a while ago.
Did you watch Palm Springs?
No, I never... I just liked him
from SNL. Oh, but we should watch Palm Springs.
No, I've never seen it. Yeah.
It came out during quarantine. It's so cute.
Okay, we'll have to watch
it. I finished Nine Perfect Strangers.
I did too.
Wow.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
Yes.
If you haven't listened, skip ahead a minute or two.
Yeah. I thought someone was gonna die.
Yeah.
It was a very like calm ending. Mm-hmm. I felt like
I wasn't overly... The show was enjoyable, but it took me a while to get into it. And then I think sometimes I'm like, oh, that was an amazing show.
Yeah.
Like I liked it. And it wasn't like my favorite thing I've ever seen.
My favorite, I think, out of the storylines were...
Yeah, which one?
Were Tony and
Melissa McCarthy's character.
Yeah.
Same. Absolutely. That scene in the woods.
Yes.
That
was like, I had butterflies. I was like, that is so beautiful. Her costumes, like her wardrobe is everything I want to be wearing in my life. And her nails were really pretty. And she had like these like long linen jumper things.
Yeah.
Or not even linen, like stretchy material, but they were really elegant. And then like
her funky glasses.
Her funky glasses. And then she had like scarves on, but then I love that in the pool she had like a full wetsuit on. Like wasn't wearing a bathing suit, which I thought was great.
I was so distracted by the fact that the girl that played Zoe, the daughter, looks so much like Shailene Woodley, but it's not her.
Yeah, she did.
I was confused.
Also, one of my favorite like jokes and scenes was then, once again, spoiler alert, they find out that they're being microdosed. And in order to like get back at her, she goes and gets her Tito's out of the trunk of the car. And the next day she's super hungover and she's like, I don't know what I was thinking that like this would get back at her, me drinking my whole thing of Tito's.
Yeah, she was by far my favorite. And I like had a major crush on Tony. I don't even know where it came from, but it was like something about his character was...
Yeah.
Very like Jason Segel-y, like, who I used to love Jason Segel too. Just like big man.
Yeah, I thought... it was, I was just, I don't know.
Like, I didn't feel like anything was solved.
No. I mean, I guess
completed.
Like the two people got together, Tony and, I can't remember her character's name.
I can't either.
The one family was like, okay about their son, which was like, that was really, really hard.
The influencers ended up working at the retreat.
And then, what's his
Carmel.
Name?
Carmel. I don't know what Carmel. I was confused why she had the one eye when like.
That she was the one.
That's what I thought.
Who shot her?
Okay.
Yes.
That was confusing.
Yeah. So she's the one who shot her.
Still a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
If you turned it back on, we're still talking.
She's the one who shot her. And so.
Was she disguised as a man?
Yeah. She did her own like makeup.
Oh,
and
that
stuff.
Was a good.
Yeah. Yeah. And then so her whole thing was like. Masha forgave her. So she was able to forgive herself. So she did like a group therapy thing, which is. And then
Lars.
Yao left.
Oh, yeah.
Which...
with his girlfriend.
Which is, he played a completely different character than from on the Good Place.
Yeah. Like a serious character.
Yeah, which I thought he did a really nice job.
Yeah.
And then Masha, Lars. Oh, Lars had a baby.
And Masha saw her daughter, got to connect with her daughter finally.
Yeah. And then.
Did it make you want to do mushrooms or not make you want to do mushrooms? And I mean, like microdosing like that. Like,
yeah. I mean, there is a lot of research in like the psych community about microdosing with trauma. So I don't like, I don't necessarily have anything against it. I do think that you should make sure someone is consenting to it. But for me personally, I don't have any desire to at this point. I'm not saying maybe I wouldn't, but like, I don't feel like I have the need for it. So I guess if my normal therapy doesn't work, maybe I need to go to Tranquillium and
let's go
microdose.
I want that pool.
Did you want a microdose? Happens?
Kind of. Like I like the idea, but I would want like not Masha.
Like some type of a guide. Though,
yes. To like very much so. And like to make sure that I don't have a bad trip. That's like, that would be scary to me.
Yeah. So
I wonder what I'd see.
I don't know. But
I just like how they filmed with like the trees going like, woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool. Anyways.
I will say the last scene reminded me of, did you ever end up watching Modern Love?
No, I need to. I just know I'm going to cry and I never am in the mood to cry.
The last scene where she's in the car and her daughter is next to her, like kind of reminded me of the first episode of the second season of Modern Love. And that's all I'll say. And I think you should watch it. At least, honestly, only the that first episode. Like if you didn't watch anything else.
Also, another recommendation, because this is now a pop culture podcast.
Yes.
I watched in one day while I was editing Clickbait on Netflix.
Okay.
It's like, you know, it's like a one-off Netflix show. There's like a murder mystery. It's not that great, but it was so entertaining. And I, like I said, I binged in one day.
Okay.
Much better than fucking Manifest, which I put so much time into.
Did you finish it?
I finished season two, and then season three just came out, and I tried to start it. And I'm like, this is outrageous.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's, sorry if you like it. It's like, there's some weird religion vibes I'm getting from the callings that they get. You didn't even get that far, but it's,
yeah.
I'm too many things happening at once. But Clickbait was great. Watched it in like a hot second.
Is it just a one and done?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, it's about like one specific.
On Netflix?
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of, I wouldn't say
spooky?
It's
spooky.
Like, yeah, I don't think you would get spooked.
Oh, well, I was spending all day today reading scary stories at work. It's that season.
You do. But then you get scared.
Then I get scared.
Oh, yeah. Is that podcast started? The
Spooked? Yeah. Yeah. I've been listening. There was a really scary one the other day.
I listened to one once that I thought then when I got in my car, like I was listening to my car, I got gas, I got back in my car and I was convinced someone was in my backseat. Like I just like, and that's not what the story was about. It was about like a ghost, but I was like, there's a murder in my car.
Yeah.
Really scared me.
But there's usually, and if anyone like, message us, send us something on Instagram or Facebook or something. There, every year there's like a roundup of these stories and it's on a website and it's about this time of year and they're like, you enter them and then like, and then people will comment on them and write their own stories. And it's like, and they've been doing it for years and years. And I, for the life of me, cannot remember the website. And I've been searching like spooky stories, scary stories. And it will, and usually it would come up and it is not. And it is driving me crazy because I bet around now is when the new ones are coming out.
And you're missing out.
And I'm missing out. Like I wanted, I was like, maybe I thought it was Bustle, but it's not Bustle. And then all I could get in my head was Reductress, but that's satire and it's not that. So if you know what I'm talking about,
help,
send me a
help
message.
Bri.
Yeah.
Give her something good this week.
Yes, please. I need it. It's been a rough week.
Yeah. But yeah, so happy spooky season, everyone. If you have a Halloween costume idea for me, please pass it along.
Yeah.
I'm running out of time.
We could do a partner one.
What could we be?
Well, we could be like an alive and dead version of something.
Or what could we
I'll
be
the
that,
dead version.
That we could be that there's two of but that we're dead? Like what's like a is there like a you know, Tegan and Sarah?
We could be the twins from The Shining. Come play with us.
Come play with us and just walk around and
yeah.
Oh, that we could scare people.
Yeah.
That's a good, like, yeah, we need ideas like that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Or
dead Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen.
Well, not far off. We could be Sorry. Or I was like, dead Christina and Meredith. Christina and Meredith in the plane crash.
Or the one
I would not have a shoe on.
Or when where's my shoe? Or when they're shower. I don't want to be showering, but like when they're all covered. Do you want to be the naked version showering but dead? Okay, cool. Never mind. Moving on.
As you said that, I took a sip of wine. I was trying really hard not to spit.
What
it
if
out.
We could be something? What are the twins where their heads are connected?
Oh, conjoined twins?
Yes. But we the could, ones specifically from Grey's, the ones that were very annoying to each other.
Yeah, we could be that. But then we would have to walk around. We should just put duct tape around our heads so we can't.
We have to be connected at all times.
That'd be really funny.
No one would get our Grey's references.
No, no one would. So come play with us.
That's a good one.
Probably.
We have to look up what they're wearing.
They're wearing little blue dresses with, like, I think, knee-high white socks.
Oh, what if I scare myself?
You probably will.
How about I want to be... Part of it would be funny to have a door and you're Jack Nicholson when you're...
Oh, yeah, that would be funny.
Too much work.
Or we could be... I could be a door... And you could be a monster from Monsters, Inc. I could just...
swinging.
Yeah.
Do you want to be Mike Wazowski? I'll be Sully.
Mike Wazowski, yeah.
Roz.
Are you saying it's because I'm very round?
No, I picked the small one to try to like... Because I knew you were having feelings. I was like, I'll be Sully. He's massive.
Well, I'll be Boo. That's who I'm going to be, is Boo.
Mike Wazowski, you didn't file your paperwork.
That was good.
Roz, I have done that impression quite a bit.
Yeah, quite a bit.
I could be the Grinch, but dead.
And I'll be Max.
Oh my God, I would love to be the Grinch for Halloween.
You're
right. I could just, or like do that, but like specifically.
That's it, I'm not going.
Yeah, I would just go around and do my monologues. And then McCoy could be Max.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like him.
You should do it.
It'd
be warm and comfy, too, because you could just wear a green suit.
Should I be McCoy's fourth leg? That seems good.
Yeah. What am I going to
do? Or like a vet with blood all over holding his leg.
Ooh,
and then
that's
spooky. And then I bring him a rock. Oh my God, wait, that would be the cutest trick or treat. Like, so I dress like a scary vet and I make a fake dog leg. And then I carry or I walk my three-legged dog around.
That's fun. Like a crazy, like a mad scientist.
That would scare kids.
Mad scientist.
Yeah. That would really
with
scare
with blood
kids.
All down you?
Uh-huh. And like where have you seen his leg anywhere? I'll do it to you. Yeah, that's what I'll do.
Okay.
Okay, great. Okay, well, we are going to jump into these because there's a lot to do and we have dinner to eat.
Yeah. Okay, so monologue one.
There's a lot to go through here.
Yeah, so surgeons are often evaluated on speed and efficiency, but that doesn't mean faster is always better. You jump the gun, you risk making the wrong diagnosis. We don't always have the time to think before we act, and that's what gets us in trouble. Once that first shot is fired, we're committed. That's almost no way to take it back. The question becomes, do we keep firing back and declare an all-out war? Meredith Grey.
Sometimes you can't go it alone. You need someone on your side. In medicine, we have surgical assists, second opinions. We stack our deck. We're dealing with life and death here. You don't want to get caught with your pants down. The thing about being on a team is it's a commitment. You have to bring it. You have to help for the win no matter what. You may not always like your teammates. You have to learn to share the ball. You have to be all in, one side or the other. But if you play hard, give it your all, really commit, victory is that much sweeter. Meredith Grey.
There's the Bible story. Two women both claim to be the mother of the same child. King Solomon had to choose. Two mothers, only one gets the kid. Solomon came up with a plan. He proposed a 50-50 split, literally. He offered to chop the kid in half. It all ends if one mom relinquishes her custody, or else they both stand their ground and the kid gets torn apart. If you're wondering how the Solomon story ends, spoiler alert, the true mom would rather give her baby up than have it ripped in two. But what happens when there are two true mothers? That's a no-win situation. That is an entirely different story. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup. We have Sheila Davis, hepatic adenoma. Brandon Cole, gunshot wound. Leo Paulson, T10 fracture. Carcinoma. Kyle Diaz, multiple sclerosis, tremor, meningitis. Maggie Nathan and Bailey's patient, stab wounds, hemopericardium, septal defect, air embolus. And Jennifer Parker, pregnancy, perforated uterus.
And for rounds, we have Callie in Arizona meet up at a coffee shop where Arizona finally tells Callie that she's not okay with Sophia going to New York City. Callie starts a topic very controversial.
Conversational.
Sure. And you can tell that Arizona is feeling defensive and there's tension. Throughout the next day, Callie talks to Penny and Bailey about the issue. Penny says that it is not her place to make judgment calls about Sophia. And Bailey tells Callie not to give up her career for a resident. At the end of the day, Callie realizes she jumped the gun. And when she goes to tell this to Arizona, Arizona gives her the lawyer's card and says that she is done talking about it with her and she will have to talk about it with or talk to her lawyer about it. In the next episode, we see both Arizona and Callie trying to find which friends of theirs will be character witnesses for that trial. Alex refuses them both, saying that he doesn't want to get in the middle. Callie ends up getting Meredith on her side, and Arizona was hoping to get April and Jackson. But when things went wrong with the ultrasound, she never got the chance to ask them. Richard also tells Arizona that she needs to fight like she's never fought before for her daughter.
The final of these three episodes is the entire court scene with Arizona and Callie. Callie has Meredith, Owen, Bailey, and Penny as her witnesses, and Arizona has DeLuca and Weber. Their character gets called into question as well as their work schedules. The witnesses and lawyers talk about the support system that exists for Sophia here in Seattle, as well as Robin's many times out drinking with Weber. Both Callie and Arizona get the chance to testify, and at the end, when it's Robin's turn, she ends up having to leave to go help a patient. In the end, we see Arizona has won the case and picks up Sophia from Meredith's house. Callie is in the background sobbing while Meredith hugs her.
Kyle Diaz is still texting with Stephanie when Stephanie accidentally texts Meredith something she meant to say to Kyle. Meredith makes jokes with her all day about it, but in the end encourages her to leave work and go on a date. Stephanie and Kyle have their first date at his recording studio, which, like, I just have to say, Steph says it's, like, super dirty in there, and then they clearly, like, have sex in there, so just...
just adding that in.
Yeah. Stephanie ends up bringing Kyle into the hospital the next day because a tremor has appeared in his other hand. Stephanie is what Amelia calls the family member from hell, as she tries to be involved in his surgery. Amelia takes away her security badge and makes her stay in the waiting room while they do emergency surgery on him. While in the waiting room, Steph realizes that she cannot be the person that isn't helping people. She tells Joe that she chose herself and she decided to end things with Kyle. The next time that Steph sees him, she sees the name Diaz on the ER board. She runs to the bed and Joe and Amelia tell her he might have possible meningitis. Kyle looks at her and tells her to go away.
The next round is all about the GSW, but if I read this, then there's nothing to talk about. So I'm just going to skip it. Yep. Ben is completely bored and not being allowed into the OR or the hospital. He tries to find a loophole in this by applying to his old position as an anesthesiologist. He brings this up with Miranda, and she says that while he can technically do this, if he does, he will have to find a new place to sleep. The episode ends with him working as an anesthesiologist. And in the next episode, Bailey tries to get Maggie and Riggs during surgery to point out how distracting it is to have Ben working... but to have been working with them. At the end of the surgery, Riggs tells Bailey that he doesn't think that she can stop someone like him from wanting to learn. Maggie tells Ben that she thinks he is arrogant and that if Bailey wanted him gone, she would have done it. Eventually, Bailey gives in to the fact that he is working and keeps his name on the OR board.
At the end of the... Oh.
No, you can read this part, I feel like. It's about Owen.
Oh, okay. At the end of the surgery with the 8-year-old GSW wound... Owen finally opens up to Amelia. He says that, yes, Nathan did cheat on Megan. When she called Owen to tell her, Owen said, just forget about him, walk away, just get on a chopper and come to me. I told my sister to get on a helicopter. I did. And that was the last thing I ever said to her. We finally learn the truth. She leans in, hugs him, and says, you didn't mean to.
During April's ultrasound with Jackson in the room, Arizona notices that something might be wrong with the baby's brain. She tries to assure April that it could just be a glitch on the machine and that they should take it easy for 2 weeks and check again after running a bunch of labs. April's furious that Arizona missed something and yells at her. Meanwhile, Penny is on Arizona's service and Arizona is treating her horribly. She ends up having a huge screaming moment with her as she berates her for always being around and for following her everywhere. Even though it goes against what Arizona wants to do, she ends up giving April and the baby an MRI where they can definitively say it was a glitch and nothing was wrong. April apologizes for how she acted, but in that moment, Arizona tells her that she cannot be her doctor and her friend and gives her a list of other OB doctors to choose from. In the third episode, we see Jackson and April learning from the mistakes of others as they have a really heartfelt talk about how they will deal with the custody of their child. It's civil, loving, and they promise not to fight.
Owen is caught in the morning naked with Amelia on Meredith's couch. All day, the sisters make jokes about seeing Owen's thing and make it very public knowledge in the hospital. Amelia reassures Meredith it's the last time and it won't happen again. However, at the end of the day, Meredith tells her that she needs to, get on with it, stop getting in her own way, and go have fun. Amelia shows up to Owen's trailer and tells him she's terrified of making a mistake and of how hard a relationship is going to be, but that she wants to be in one. Owen feels the same way and says, let's screw things up. And they make out.
Amazing. Let's just keep going. You want to just get this? Okay.
You want to just get this done?
Get this done. I just feel like we're on a roll now.
Yeah.
A lot happened. Thanks for sticking by through all those rounds, people. If they're too long, let me know. I don't know what I'm doing. Okay, first note. What is yours?
Mine was, ha ha ha. Mira says they are becoming like cat ladies and her children are the cats.
Yes, I loved that. I had the quote where she says to Zola, do not ever date a man who cannot handle your power. Mm. Except she spells P-O-W-E-R because they're spelling a lot of things.
Yeah.
But I love that. And I love that it's like an all-female house right now.
Yeah, they're all helping each other out. What round do we want to, like, what do we want to dig into?
Let's just talk about the trial.
Okay. Because
that was a big one. I am really surprised. So I've been dreading this. I was like, it's terrible. It's horrible. I remember hating this. I was so uncomfortable. Okay, like, it wasn't as bad as I remembered.
They do tear Arizona apart.
Yes.
Like, her character apart.
Right. But I mean, like, I didn't realize it was only one episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see, like, it's not dragged out.
No.
I guess it's, like, two episodes of, like, you know, we lead up to it of, like, I'm going to New York and, like, I'm getting a lawyer. And then it's, like, one more episode, mm-hmm. you know. So I guess, but yeah, it's not, like, multiple episodes of them in court and, like.
Yeah, I don't know why. Again, I've never rewatched this. So it just really surprised me how I was really dreading it, and it wasn't as, like, I mean, it was painful, but.
Yeah. So, should we just talk a little bit about our feelings about, like, just people in the trial, like, witnesses?
I mean, I thought it was interesting that Alex chose not to testify also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I would have assumed he would have testified for Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, it does. I mean, I get it. Probably with his history, like his family and stuff, I don't know that he ever went through the court systems or anything, but I can just see that he doesn't want to be involved
right.
in that.
He said something like, I've seen enough of families fighting or something like that.
Yeah.
I was surprised by DeLuca's test because, like, we rarely see them as roommates.
Yeah.
And I thought what he said was really lovely.
Yeah, it was really lovely that, like, Sophia brings joy. And Owen's the first one to take the stand.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
And he just says some really nice things about Callie and how
being ready to handle any challenge. And
yeah. I thought it was interesting. I have a note about, like, she just jumps in. And I was like, is that a great, like, sense of character when you're talking about a child? Like,
yeah.
Because, like, what children often need, and I feel like what a judge is looking for, is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when you're like, yeah, she's like, she has no problem just jumping into a new thing and, like, going to New York isn't a big deal, even though that, you know, I was like,
yeah.
I don't know that that's great to testify.
Mm, that's a good point. And I'm sure the judge thought of that as well. Yeah. She jumps right into hard things. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, his was interesting. Also, then DeLuca's, I thought, was good because it focused. I felt like sometimes the difference was they were talking about Callie, and then when they were talking about Arizona, they were actually talking about Sophia, like parts of it. Like, DeLuca focused on Sophia being happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even Meredith did that, which then bit her in the ass, like, the
yes.
other way around.
I thought that was really interesting where, like, Meredith thought that Arizona's lawyer was ripping her to shit about being a single mom, when really she was just trying to showcase, like, you have a village. You just said you have a village here in Seattle.
Right.
And that Sophia and Callie, they're a part of that. And now you think it makes sense
to take her away.
To take her away from that.
I also thought it was interesting that Meredith so strongly chose a side. I know that she has been friends with Callie for longer, but to me, I don't notice a close relationship between her and Callie or her in Arizona. So it surprised me that.
I guess I kind of see more of her and Callie because, like, I feel like Mark and I feel like they.
Their,
like,
history.
And when Callie and Arizona were going through a divorce. Callie stayed at Meredith's,
that's
remember?
True. That's true. Yeah.
So I do feel like they have more of a friendship. And Derek and Callie did the trial thing
together.
Yeah. So I
that's true.
I feel like they were closer.
What'd you think of? Okay, first, I would say in the first two episodes, anytime Penny showed up, when she said to Callie, I am not in the place to make any judgment calls about Sophia. I thought that was like, again, I was like, I fucking love Penny. Like, that is the answer as a step parent or like, you don't have a say. And yet, especially, like, you might earn it someday, but at that point, she didn't. So I was really proud of her for saying that. And then I was really proud of her for when she worked with Arizona and Arizona was terrible to her, she did not tell Callie that.
I was really proud of her too, because especially because Arizona said, like, you're a spy, like, go tell Callie I've been terrible to you. And then when Callie asked how it went, she was like, she was great to me all day.
That's
a good character.
Penny has good character, which is why it was hard then. Not that I feel like she was still acting in good character. Actually, yeah, I do believe she was. Like, the fact that she did know that much about Sophia that quickly shows that, like, I feel like they introduced her in the beginning of the season as this not so great person. And by the end, I really feel like good about her.
Yes.
Her intentions are very good and honest.
Yeah. And I think, like, the asking, like, do you love her? Like, I think that's tough too, because, like, and I'm sure she will grow to love her.
She said something like, I have come to love her, which I felt like was a better answer than just like, yes, I love her. Like,
yeah.
But,
which I get why the lawyer was saying that. And then, like, I feel like kind of confused her, you know, like, what grade is she in? You know, and like, that wasn't great, but also,
I love that she knew what toy was her favorite, though. Like,
yeah, like, what her favorite breakfast was, what her favorite thing to do in the morning was. Like, she clearly cares about Sophia. And so even if she, like, got confused about the grade that she was in, like, I don't know. I listen to podcasts all the time, like Glennon Doyle, and she's like, I don't know how old my kids are. I don't know what grade they're in.
Right.
You know, like, that's just normal. Whatever. Yes. Bailey. Oh. I loved Bailey on the stand when she said, objection, speculation.
Yes.
She's like, you can't do that. You're a witness. So then she asks again, and then the other lawyer says, objection, speculation. I loved that Bailey was like, I would never put a woman's success in the con column. Like, you can just tell that Bailey feels personally attacked, because what they're attacking Arizona about is what Bailey has been attacked about.
And it's how her first marriage
exactly.
ended. Was because she chose work over her kid.
Yes.
So I love the way she was like, that is 92 times that Arizona Robbins has saved a baby.
Yes.
Like, I hated that time, that the way they pushed that against her.
I also loved when she said, would you ask that if she were a man?
Mm.
Which I think is so true. Like, I do not think that in a custody hearing, and maybe, but like, that it would be questioned whether or not they were a good enough parent if they were working hard at their job.
Yes, exactly. It was hard then when Weber got brought up. I felt bad for him too, that they're associating things he's done with her, like drinking alcohol. And he's like, I don't drink, you know, but like, I feel sad for him that like he's up there and then they're bringing that up. I feel like he must just be like, fuck, like I actually don't, you know, but they counted all those nights, which I wondered because it said swapping.
Yeah. 34 times.
So I was wondering like, okay, well usually if there's a swap, that means then like, it's like, hey, can you take her tonight? I'll take her tomorrow. It doesn't mean that like she passed off all of those nights. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It doesn't mean that the 25 times that she went out to the bar meant that she asked to swap every single one of those nights.
Yeah. Or
you know, 34 of those times could have been the 92 times that she was in surgery.
Yes, exactly. And so I just hated that argument. I mean, clearly it didn't affect it, but.
Because I also don't think Arizona would do that.
No.
You know, I don't think she would be like, oh, can we swap tonight so I can go to the bar? I could see her doing that maybe a couple times, you know, like, and whatever. But it was like Callie at one point when they're laying in bed, her and Meredith, and they're both drinking after the first night or the first day in court. And she says like court covered her.
She feels gross or something.
Yeah. Court covered Callie in gross. And I don't know. I felt that way. I felt like the way that Callie's lawyer and Callie decide they attacked Arizona's character, and Arizona, and I know that's court, but like Arizona is clearly a good mom. Mm-hmm. And
her defense was all upon Sophia.
Yeah. And I think number one, because let's finish out.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's finish out the people who took the stand, or was that everyone?
No, that was it. You're good.
Okay. So when we get what the verdict is, I want to say two things. The first thing I want to say is like in the very beginning, when the judge comes out and asks, like, do they really want to do this pretty much? Like, Arizona kind of pauses. Like, you can see she's like kind of hesitant, but like, yeah, like this is, she's like exasperated with her yes, mm-hmm. but Callie is very sassy in her yes. Like, yes your right. honor. You know, like, I know I'm going to win this. And in the end, when we get the verdict, what's weird is I remembered like getting a reason why from the judge, but we never do. So we have to infer as like the people who are watching it, why she chose Arizona over Callie. And so I would just like to ask you what you think the reasoning is. And I mean, there's probably multiple things, but I just wonder.
I have no legal knowledge. So as far as like actual things of why they would have chose someone, I am basing this on my knowledge, which is just pure opinion. I think because of the fact that they are thinking about the child and what is in the best interest of the child. And so far, all that Callie has provided for that is that like, oh, she'll go to New York and it'll be me and Penny and we both love her, versus Arizona is like, her life is here. She has a support system. Yes, I'm a single mom, but I'll have support. And so I think like almost an obvious choice that doesn't matter about Robin's work schedule because she has this support system.
Absolutely.
So I think it was purely based on.
Yeah. And why like uproot a child's life just because someone wants to, and someone who has a great job where they're at, you know, like to, I don't want to say follow, but kind of what Bailey says, like, you're going to follow a resident for a job that, you know, less hours and whatever. But I thought too, I think Arizona really showed, like, when she took the stand that.
I loved when she took the call.
Yeah.
I have a quote of what she said.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
She says, I chose to become Sophia's mother. It did not fall into my lap. There was a choice and I could stay or I could run. And I chose motherhood. I love my child and I want her with me. But I know no matter how this ends, she will survive. She will be healthy and safe and well taken care of and loved because we are her mothers. But there is a child at the hospital who will not survive unless I am there.
Which I thought was great. Like that to me shows a selfless mother.
Yep. That she was like, I know she'll be okay, whatever happens.
Yeah. Like Kelly's a great mom too. And this fucking sucks. But yeah.
It was really sad to see Callie hiding behind, like when Meredith got Sophia ready.
Yeah.
Like, well, because that's the thing. If they had just been able to solve it, then there wouldn't be this like sole custody, you know? Like,
yeah. Well, and then the part two where she's like crying, like, what did I do? And she's crying in Meredith's arms and Penny goes to grab her hand. She pushes it away. Yeah. Pulls her hand away. She's pissed at Penny. Because I think she, and I feel like we maybe touched on this last week, but like probably thought that she just like had it in the bag because she's
the birth mother. Yeah.
But I think it was really important for Arizona to say, I am just as much her mother. Like I legally adopted her and it's offensive to anyone who's adopted a child to say that I'm not.
Yes. Yeah. It was, I hated this less than I did. I mean, I'm happy that I'm pretty sure at the end there comes an outcome where they're both okay.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important story to tell. And also it makes me really respect Arizona.
Yeah. When Arizona leaves court, Callie looks so shocked. Like,
how dare you leave?
Yeah. I can't believe
it. I was like, they're all doctors. How does she not understand?
Yeah. Also, did you notice that I'm pretty sure Jessica Capshaw is pregnant?
Oh, I didn't.
Like, I don't know if there's a notes and trivia about this, but I have a couple notes like, is she pregnant? Is she pregnant? And then at the end where Sophia comes out, I was like, she is definitely pregnant. Like she has a black dress on and you can see like her pregnant belly.
There's if you watch this on Netflix, it does the like last time on Grey's and it had a lot of throwback scenes of like their whole relationship. And I just have to say, I feel like Arizona's always been beautiful. Her hair right now is beautiful.
Yeah.
Gorgeous. So long, so great. Yeah. Like it showed flashbacks to like when she went to Africa and she looked very different.
Yes.
But anyways.
So. Also that last scene where Sophia's like, can we go home now, mommy? And she's like, yes, we can or whatever. But right before that, Arizona's just kind of staring off and you can tell like she doesn't necessarily feel good about it either.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like she's happy that Sophia's going to be there, but you can tell like it's not
what she wanted.
It's not what she wanted. The other thing I will just say about Arizona going to the hospital is that really sweet moment when she's like, do you want to see your grandbaby or whatever? And the thing that was running through my head is she's like, we're going to put her back in now was privilege. You know, when she was with the other doctor who was training her,
yeah.
Like, what does it feel like to hold like a fetus outside of the uterus or whatever? And she's like, that is privilege. And I just thought about that.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
And what a wild concept.
Yeah.
She's like, look, here's your baby. Now yeah. we will put it back in.
Yes.
You'll see him later.
Yeah.
Also, I thought it was interesting they brought that patient back.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I think clearly it was to show like that Arizona has connections to her patients.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It wasn't just some random patient that Arizona had to rush to the hospital. We as viewers knew like she's worked with this patient, yes. You know.
So. I thought at first, this is a very dark thought, that the girl like fell on purpose.
Oh.
Because she said something like, wait, the baby's okay. And I thought she was saying it in the sense of like she had tried to hurt herself.
Oh yeah. But that never
that
came.
Was not the case.
Yeah.
So anyways, we just talked a lot about that.
Yeah. What else do we got?
Okay. I'm just going to talk about things that hit me emotionally. I would say I love Kyle and Stephanie together. I feel like they have really good chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun to finally see her happy again because the last relationship she was in was Jackson, which was a long-ass time ago.
Yeah.
It was devastating to see her fall apart.
Yes.
And be that, like, because that sweet, sweet gentleman in the waiting room with her.
Oh, you.
Vincent.
Oh,
yes.
Vincent.
It was devastating. I have a lot to say about that. It was devastating. And he was being so kind to her and she was just cold.
Yes.
You could tell she was very uncomfortable and like not happy to be where she was.
She doesn't want to be the one. She doesn't want to be the family.
Right. She doesn't want to be worrying.
Yeah.
She wants to be fixing.
Yeah.
And so she ends things with Kyle. She gets drunk. She tries to like get back to him. Joe pulls the phone away. It was sad because, okay, two storylines, like Vincent and I can't remember the other guy's name.
I can't either. I'm sure it's in.
It's in Shotgun Workup.
Vincent and Leo.
Okay, Leo at the end, you know, he sends Vincent away. He says, thank you.
But we're
done now. And then the wife fucking pays him. Which
oh,
is
I
like,
know. I know.
Oh, it was really hard to watch. I mean, she didn't know. Like, but then in that same way, Steph goes to see Kyle and he's like, you can go now. Like, you are unneeded here. And I felt like it was really sad that her and that man had to share time in the waiting room and then for someone
away.
That didn't. Yeah. And so I'm worried Kyle's going to die. I don't know. I can't remember.
I can't remember either. I want to go back to Leo a second. I just feel really bad because, like, he finds out he's going to die. And so he could, like, blow up his whole life and his grandchildren and his children and his wife's life. Or he could just suck it up and not live his truth and sacrifice
for
his
other
happiness
people's.
For other people. And it's just really sad that that's what he chooses to do.
Right. And I don't know that there's a right or wrong in that
no.
in that choice, but it's sad that he even has to make that choice.
Yeah.
Also, that does Vincent even ever get he never gets an explanation that that's
no.
why, you know, which is even more sad. Oh, his little face.
When you think, too, that Leo says, like, we have to talk, you think he's going to say, like, because Meredith and him just talked, like, I'm in love with Vincent. And really, he's meaning, like, we have to talk because I'm going to die.
Ugh.
You know? Oh, it's just so sad.
When the wife gives... And the wife is so thankful.
And like, Vincent, like, walks in and is so happy to see him.
It killed me. It absolutely... I fucking hate storylines like this.
Yeah, it was really, really sad.
So we'll see what happens with Kyle.
Yeah. Okay, I want to talk about Ben a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this is what I was talking about last week, where I was like, next week we'll talk about how arrogant he is. It is extremely arrogant to go and find a way to weasel your way back into the hospital to get out of your punishment of having to sit at home and think about what you fucking did.
Right.
It's extremely arrogant and it really, really annoys me.
It did too. I feel that way as well. I will say though, Riggs, I felt there is a part of Ben's character that I think his intention isn't to be arrogant. His intention is that he wants to be the best doctor possible, but like,
which is also kind of arrogant.
Well, or just that he wants to keep learning. He's afraid of falling behind. Like, I feel like he's afraid of failure. He's got to be the best. He might be an Enneagram 1. I'm unsure. Yeah. And like, he just like, but yeah, I agree. But it was cool to see him also be a badass for a second. And like when there was something gone wrong, and he's not incapable, but that's also not what Bailey's saying. He is capable. He just needs to like think.
Have some fucking remorse for what he did. And I don't think he does. Right. Like, and he found a way to get around it. And that, like, that just really, really pisses me off. It's interesting that we get two doctors who like, is it Maggie that
yells at
Ben, and then Riggs kind of like tells off Bailey. Mm-hmm. So like both of them feel kind of differently about it. But at the end of the day, like Ben doesn't listen to what Maggie says. Bailey puts him on the board again and he just kind of like smirks and is like, yeah, I got my way. You know, I get to keep working. And that bothered me.
Yeah.
Because I really don't feel like he then learns a lesson at all.
I wonder, does something, he has to be.
I mean, we have two episodes left before the April thing. So
he
like isn't in the surgical program, but he gets to keep working in the hospital.
Yeah. I wonder when he learns his lesson then. Is it next season?
I don't know. I think he goes to station 19 and gets testicular cancer or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. It irked me a little bit too.
Yeah. Should we talk? I just want to talk briefly about April and Jackson.
The amazing meeting the two of them had together.
Yes, after like watching Callie in Arizona go through what they're going through, April really wants Easter.
I loved that whole conversation. I loved that. I think it took for them to see an ugly situation for them to realize they don't want that to be them.
Yes. And she tells him he gets the Super Bowl on Halloween.
Yeah. Also, I love that with Easter, he's like, because I worship the Easter Bunny. Yeah. I thought that was so funny.
And I think it is really important to April. I mean, that is like the most important in like the Christian religion. It is the most important holiday. And then you can see when he says, what about Christmas? You can see kind of this like sadness in her. And then it's like, we'll switch off. And he's like, we switch off. And then we respect the plan. And no fighting about it. And I was really happy to see them get to that point.
Oh, you know? Thank God. Yeah. I'm glad they didn't drag out their situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really loved that moment. I loved that they, and I love their like the switching off on holidays. I did that growing up. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Because then you do Christmas Eve at whoever's house. So you get it around.
Each year you would switch. Yeah.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But yeah, I just thought it was really special. And I think this is what sets them up for success with Harriet.
Yeah. And then I felt really bad for Arizona when April freaks the fuck out on her. With the ultrasound. And I think Arizona made the right choice firing them as a patient.
Yeah, I think so too. Hopefully they're not mad at that for long. Also, I feel also sad for Arizona because I do think they could have been good character witnesses, but in the midst of all they were going on, she didn't want to ask. She was about to, and then Penny came in, and then all that shit went down, and I feel like she still could have asked, but she didn't.
Yes. Which I also just think shows that Arizona was like kind of selfless in those moments.
Also, I love Callie also.
Oh, yeah. I do too. I don't think, you know, I think, well, and it ends up being that they kind of have some sort of joint custody. I don't think Callie should not have Sophia.
No, I think there's a better option out there.
Yeah. But I'm just saying with how they presented it, like, I do think that Arizona did show, like how they wrote it, that she was more selfless than Callie. That's how they wrote it. So,
also with Owen and Amelia. So I feel like they're just like a disaster waiting to happen.
Oh my God. It's like watching a car crash.
Yeah.
Slow motion.
I mean, I appreciated that end moment when Meredith is like, I'm a fucking widow. Like, go, you're going to have sex with them again. Just go, have fun, go for me, like do it for me. And all of that, and gives her that advice to push her into doing that. I also really loved all of the funny jokes they made about seeing Owen's penis. I just thought that was like,
she's like, I get what Christina was with him.
Or like, she says like, I finally saw what Christina saw. I feel like that was such a good moment. And just the way they were like, kids, look away.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Owen, I have a note. Oh, Owen and Amelia caught with their pants down.
It's a good note.
But yeah, so I mean, this is part of me when Amelia is giving her speech like at the trailer.
Uh-huh.
Also, I don't know why I found it funny that Owen was going on a walk. I don't know why I thought it was weird.
At first, when they showed that scene, I was like, wait, there's someone back there. I was like, did they forget to get an extra off the scene? Oh. I didn't realize it was Owen.
And it then just seemed funny to me. He doesn't seem like the walk.
Also,
type
that
of
zoom out of the trailer, it looked like it was like in a trailer park, not alone in the woods. There was like other lights. I don't know.
But when she's like, well, where is the trailer? Because the dream house was built on the land with the trailer. Oh,
so it could be at a trailer park.
It could be.
Okay, because also, why would he just go for a walk in the fucking woods in the dark?
I don't, yeah.
Like, he has to be in some sort of trailer residential. Also, like a campground.
They're doctors.
Who knows?
Okay,
whatever. To keep the trailer. Who has the trailer now?
I don't think anyone has the trailer now.
I miss when Alex lived in the parking lot.
In the trailer, that was really great. But when, like, Amelia's giving her speech and blah, blah, yeah. blah, you know, all squirrely and, like, it's hard and blah, I'm going to fuck up. And
yeah.
I literally thought that Owen was going to propose. I was like, oh,
yes,
no. Because
he put his player or his iPod in his pocket, but it looked like he was grabbing something.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be like, let's
just do it. Is this their wedding in two episodes?
I think so.
Yeah, this is bad.
This is bad news. It's bad, bad news.
I think when Meredith said, you have happiness and you keep throwing it away, get it together, sister, she did not mean get married. Because also, don't they run away from the wedding?
Yeah.
There's like a runaway bride moment.
Yeah, and then she comes back. But there was one line that I thought was good, and I think it was Amelia said, it's harder to love somebody than to walk away from them. And I think that's true. Like, I think it can often be much easier, not in every situation, you know.
No, but in the ones where you true. Okay, we're not talking like abusive or this, but I do agree. It is harder work to grow with someone and to choose that.
Yeah. And then my next note is Owen and his aggressive kissing.
Yeah. Well, he's like, let's screw it up.
Amelia. Every time. Talks to women like that. Every time. Oh,
he always wears that.
Don't even know.
He wears that brown leather jacket.
I feel like Kevin McKidd's probably a good guy, but I hate him because he is Owen to me.
I wish that they played him as a Scottish man.
I know.
I think I would like it better.
Yeah. Just sighs.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if I have any random notes other than that current OB sucks.
Oh, yeah, that guy was a douche.
Yeah. No, I feel like...
Oh, there was just one random scene. The scene with... And this has to do with the GSW, and we'll talk about that in post-op. But Maggie's response to it, I thought was so...
Oh, yeah. We can talk about that now.
Yeah. It was just so, like, beautiful and sad and gave me so many GGBs when she's leaving the hospital. Well, she freaks out on the nanny.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of like, what am I doing? Is it Riggs who pulls
her? He's like, you'd be a good cop.
Yeah. But the quote...
He was like, you broke that girl.
The quote that really got me is when Maggie says to Meredith, like, how do you do this? Like, how do you love your kids like this? She says, my heart is so wide open. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people who have children, and I think that is the perfect... I don't have children, but the perfect way to describe what it feels like.
Have your heart running around, making
choices. Yeah, outside
choices.
Your body. But, like, your heart is so wide open that anything could just destroy it.
Ugh, why do people do it? Just kidding.
I don't know.
I'm not strong enough. Yeah, Maris, I love that Maris, like, it's awful. Sometimes you just have to push through it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was a really sweet moment.
Yeah, that was.
Because she loves those kids. I think she never thought she had the capacity to, like, love a child like that.
Yeah.
And she loves them like they're her own kids. You know, she's helping raise them and be there with them.
Yeah, and there was a lot of emphasis on her babysitting the kids these three episodes.
Yeah, and a lot of she has a family now, you know. Yeah.
It's lovely. I love Maggie.
Yeah, I do too. Also, just randomly, that lady who was catfished.
Oh, yeah, that was weird. I felt bad for that guy.
I did too.
I mean, like, obviously, yeah, show your photo. Don't be like that.
But then also, she said she was dying.
Yeah. But so they're perfect for each other.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I just, like, I have a tough time with storylines where, like, people are, it's implying that someone is, ugly.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm over those.
Yeah, me too. I think, be honest, and, like, catfishing sucks, but, like, also, it was like, oh, we're going to hire this actor who's, like, ugly.
Yeah. How do you get cast for that?
Yeah, I know. I know. It's just kind of heartbreaking.
I love when he was like, she said she was going to die. And he, like, marches off towards her. But, yeah. Yeah, I didn't like it. Okay, let's do notes and trivia. Okay. This episode's title originated from the song Trigger Happy, originally sung by Weird Al Yankovic.
It scored 7.65 million viewers.
Table read took place on March 3rd, 2016.
When broadcast, this episode was followed by a PSA from Ellen Pompeo about children and gun accidents supporting the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence.
Derek Bailey Shepherd is 3 years old in this episode.
Who the fuck knows that? The scene with Kelly...
Wait, is that the boy that was... Or no, Ellis was the last one. Okay, go on.
The scene with Kelly in Arizona at the cafe was filmed at Stamp Proper Foods in Los Feliz.
This episode's title originated from the song You're Gonna Need Someone on Your Side, originally sung by Morrissey.
The episode scored 7.91 million viewers.
This is the best note ever. There was no table read for this episode as the schedule was too busy to have.
Too busy. Are there only two notes and trivias?
No, keep going.
Oh, this episode title originated from the song Mama Tried. Sorry. Mama Tried, originally sung by Merle Haggard.
The episode scored 7.66 million viewers.
This one had a table read, and it took place on March 22nd, 2016.
Using a song by Prince was a tribute to the artist who passed away a few weeks before the episode aired. Shonda Rhimes is a big Prince fan.
As the courtroom set is the courtroom they use on How to Get Away with Murder.
Cool. The episode is the last one to feature a scene with both Callie and Meredith in it. Holy
interesting.
Shit.
Interesting.
Well, they end hugging.
Yeah. Okay, Catherine Fox Award.
I don't know. Arizona or April and Jackson, but they were just so small.
And they were last week.
The judge?
Maggie. She was...
Sophia?
Well, I could maybe give it, and we didn't talk about it because we're going to talk about it in post-op.
Amelia?
But maybe Amelia for the speech she gives to the boy and to Owen.
Let's do it. I think Amelia changed lives. I wrote it in all caps on accident. Yeah. I gave it an 8 out of 10. I liked these.
Yeah, I'll agree. 8 out of 10.
Okay.
For me too. If you are interested in hearing about the GSW storyline, stay tuned if you are a $10 patron. And just letting you know that if you're not and you decide that you want to be at some point, you can unlock all of the post-ops if you become a $10 patron.
Absolutely.
So, it's never too late.
Never too late. Time of death is 2004.